Welcome to the Relevant Leader Monthly, a monthly conversation to help equip the leaders of Relevant to become leaders who are highly effective influencers. I am Ronnie Rothy, and I am so excited about hosting the Relevant Leader Monthly this month, because here's the deal. Great leaders, we talk about this all the time, are the hope of the church, which means you, as a leader within Relevant, are the hope of Relevant Community Church. And I think the really great news is that our church is full of amazing leaders, which is one of the reasons we've seen God move and transform people's lives and eternities, and we're making an impact and difference. It's really because of you, our leaders. But the reality is we can all learn so much from each other. Thus the reason a few times a year we're bringing in one of you, one of our leaders, to talk about leadership. And today we're talking leadership with one of our awesome, amazing leaders, Beth T. Hello, Beth.
Hello, Ronnie.
So, Beth, I'm excited that you're here. I'm excited to dive into leadership with you, talk a little bit about your life as well. But first, just start off, tell us what your leadership roles here are at Relevant.
I am lead coach for the Women's Network here at Relevant of T-Life Groups, yep. And I also lead my own T-Life group.
By the way, how many T-Life group leaders are you coaching right now?
About 14.
So just a couple. Beth, you are such a rock
14
star.
14 to 16. I'm just adding one this afternoon.
Look so, at yeah. you go, Beth. Hunter, and you guys, just like most of you who are listening, I mean, we know most of our leaders, almost all of our leaders are volunteer. Beth, you're a volunteer leader.
Yes.
And I can't tell you how grateful we are for you. You do such an amazing job. And Beth, you are also our leader of the year. We celebrated you at the volunteer staff celebration a few months back. You are the Relevant leader of the year. So this better be good.
I was so shocked. I really was. I was looked at you. Right, you should have given this to somebody else.
Well, you shouldn't be shocked because you are phenomenal and you are making such a difference in our church every day. And so thank you. We're a better church because of you. And you are the hope of our church. Beth, we talk about it all the time. Our desire is that all of our leaders are highly effective influencers, and you are just that. You are a leader who truly is a highly effective influencer. And so I just wanted to ask you some questions today to get your insight on leadership. I believe what God and experience has taught you can and will be so helpful for all of us. But Beth, first, just tell us a little bit about yourself, about your family, and just about life, where you're at in life.
Well, I am married to an amazing man, Joe. He's just my rock. And then I have two great daughters, Misty and Ashley. And
everyone knows Misty.
Everyone knows Misty.
Misty Schluchter. Yeah, she's our service programming director here.
Let's add the great son-in-law, John Schluchter, as well. You're welcome, John.
Yeah.
But and we moved from Birmingham, Alabama, which you can probably tell with my accent. And I really am going to work hard for a Midwestern accent during this podcast. But anyway, we moved here 3 years ago. Never thought I'd do it. And God definitely had to call us here. It had to be more than just being here with my kids and grandkids. Didn't know if I'd have a place here. And this is my purpose. My role here is just the fulfillment and the wholeness of moving to Omaha.
So. Yeah. So you
six grandkids.
Six grandkids.
Got to throw those in there, yeah.
Beth, you don't look like you should have up to six grandkids.
Yeah,
you look way too young for that.
Oh, you're so sweet.
So you've been a part of Relevant for 3 years.
Yeah.
You came from Birmingham.
Yeah.
How, just tell that story real quick. Like, how did you just sense God calling you guys here? Well, real quick, backstory. Birmingham is where you and I met.
Yes.
So I moved to Birmingham at the end of 2004, took a job at a church down there as a youth pastor. You were a part of that church.
Yes.
A few years later, at that church is where John and Misty, your now son-in-law and daughter, mm-hmm. met. They were both interning for me when they were in college in the student ministry I was leading. And that's where they met and fell in love and, you know, lived happily ever after. You were part of that church. And then I started a church a few years later. You were a part of starting that. John and Misty were both a part of starting that. So we've known each other for 18 years now.
Yes.
Which is so crazy. But then I moved up here in 2008 to start Relevant, which started in September of 2009. John and Misty moved up here the end of 2009. 2010 or beginning of 2011. I can't remember the exact date. And then three, and so you were mad at me for a lot of years because your daughter
had moved, to be mad at somebody.
You had to be mad at someone. Daughter moved away from Birmingham, right?
They wouldn't let me come see him.
But how in the world did 3 years ago you feel that, what kind of brought you guys to feeling that God was calling you guys up here?
Well, I just felt a kind of a pruning in Alabama. It was weird. Like I just, both my girls moved to different states. Never thought my life would look like that. And just felt a pruning. That's the only way I can really explain it. Joe and I were on the back deck one night, and God just been working in my heart, but I didn't want to tell Joe because I just really thought I want to hold on to this, you know. I never can leave Alabama. I can't leave my family. Can't leave everything I know for 55 years. And so on the back porch, we were having dinner one night, and I just looked at him. I said, you know, I think one day I could move to Omaha. And he said, what are you waiting on? Let's put the house up for sale. And it was just like God knitting our hearts together both at the same time.
Amazing.
So we knew, like, he'd been praying about it, I'd been praying about it, and we weren't praying together about it, but because we really just didn't know how each other really felt about it. But yeah, he drew us here, and everything just fell into line, like, perfectly.
Yeah. Well, and I'm so glad he did draw here, because you and you guys have made our church better by being here. You know, I always say all the time that I don't care if one Christ follower ever steps foot into the doors of the Relevant Center again and ever becomes part. That's not who we're trying to reach.
Right.
We're trying to reach people that don't know
yes.
Jesus. But whenever he calls someone who doesn't know Jesus or someone who already knows him to be part of our church,
I believe it's
because he wants our mission to advance more. And the fact that he called you guys here, our church has become so much better and healthier because you guys have been here. And so I'm just grateful. And it's so funny that, you know, we met all those 3,000 miles away in Birmingham, Alabama, 18 years ago, and here we sit.
I know.
Today. It's
I
crazy.
I loved you then, and I love you now.
Oh, I love you too, Beth. Hey, real quick, tell just kind of your spiritual journey story, like how you ended up putting your faith in Christ, and I know you did that at a young age, but just kind of real quick, when did you put your faith in Jesus, and how did that come about?
Well, I grew up in a great Christian home, and parents of great faith, and church was a big part of our life, and lived in a Southern Baptist church, which vacation Bible school, Bible stories, scripture, that's one great thing about the Baptist church, I have to say. But when I was 9 years old, I put my faith in
awesome.
Jesus, very childlike faith, of course. And as I grew and I walked in some sin, we don't call them mistakes, we call them sin.
Mm-hmm.
God really used some times in my life just to grow my faith journey, and some hurts in my life, and God never forsake me or left me, and just grew that journey, and started the women's ministry at Mountaintop Community Church. And
yeah, that's where we met. Yeah.
That's where we met, and then God worked. I rededicated my life, and you baptized me again.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Absolutely.
After some wounds of some things with church, and God just worked in that, and so that's just been my story of just how he's just allowed some of the things in my life to take them and use them into growing me spiritually and growing in leadership.
It's so awesome. And what I love about your story and why, you know, I mean, all of us, I just want to just reiterate this point, like, your story is one of the reasons that we are fanatics about impacting the next generation for Jesus. Like, you were impacted by Jesus at a young age, and that foundation is really what brought about the years of, even when you sinned, and even when you walked away, and even when those things, like, you had the foundation of faith in Jesus, and were impacted by Jesus at a young age, and so this is why we are fanatics about doing everything we can to really reach young people for Jesus and inspire and empower them to take next steps to follow Jesus. Because we believe they'll come back to it, even if they fall away at some point in time.
That foundation's critical at a young age.
For
it
sure.
It is,
100%.
Huge. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited, Beth, to talk a little about leadership with you.
Okay.
Leader of the year here. And so we always say, as leaders, our goal is not for us to have perfect leaders, because it's not possible, but to help all of us become leaders who are highly effective influencers. And we say there's four elements of that. Number one, a highly effective influencer, people want to follow you. Secondly, people want to go there, wherever the there is that you're leading. Number three, people are actually getting there. They're actually producing and fulfilling their responsibilities and achieving results and getting to the vision, goal, mission. And then fourth, a highly effective influencer equips and reproduces other leaders. So I'm going to kind of ask you some questions around those things. So first, around being a highly effective influencer, you know, number one, people want to follow you. So let's just be honest. Without people wanting to follow you, the rest of it doesn't matter. If people want to follow you, do not want to follow you, you cannot be a highly effective influencer. So there's no leadership without positive influence. So Beth, in your opinion and from your experience, what makes people want to follow a leader?
Well, first thing, you can't ask leaders to go somewhere you're not willing to go and to go with them. So we talk about in my realm of what I do here is it's T-Life groups. And so we talk about authenticity and vulnerability and trust and all of those things and taking next steps with Jesus. And so I can't ask a leader to be all those things with her group of people that she's shepherding if I'm not that myself with these people.
Yep.
So I hope to be as transparent as I can with them. I hope to be as honest with them as I can be. I hope to gain the trust that that I want them to have in me and the respect. But I think that's it. It's just me walking the path that I'm asking them to walk these people in,
yeah,
that I'm walking it with them.
Yes, I love the word you use there of trust. I mean, I think we underestimate how important trust is so often in relationships, leadership. Like, if there's no way someone wants to follow a leader if they don't trust them.
Right.
And so, Beth, what are some things you've just done personally that have made people want to follow you or made people trust you?
Well, like, I think even through the hard times of leadership, because sometimes there are some difficult conversations and circumstances that you're put in, but I think that they know my heart, and they know my heart is for them, and it is, so I think they see that. So when I think that you have a leader that you know that cares for you, mm-hmm, is going to help you,
yeah,
and that you can trust, they'll go the distance with you.
Yeah.
So, and I've had to have hard conversations with people, and the outcome of that is that they know my heart,
yep,
and they know it's for them, and I want what's best for them. I want them to grow, and in the process, I'm growing. As I'm doing it, I'm having to grow and stretch myself as well.
Yeah, I love that.
So,
I, you know, and just, I think that's what makes people want to follow you, is that people know you care about them even more than you care about the mission, even though you more than you care about where you're going. Like, I care about you. I love you.
Right.
And Beth, I think that's what makes you a leader that people want to follow, is, which it's amazing to watch. So many people want to follow you. So what advice would you give to our leaders to ensure that people want to start and or continue following them? Like, if you go, man, I just want to give you this one piece of advice, what would you give them in regards to this?
Well, I think I'm talking to myself. So as far as me, for years in business and then also in ministry, but the hardest person to lead is yourself.
Yep.
So if I can't lead myself well, and I fail a lot, so if I can't lead myself well, how am I expecting other people to lead me? Because they're watching me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can't lead with integrity and honor and vulnerability, trust, authenticity, transparency, if I can't lead with those things, they're not going to follow me.
Yep.
So I can't be different, they're watching me. So
yep,
I have to lead myself well. That's the first and most important thing, I think,
because
people are watching.
Yeah. So key. You can't lead others, people, if you can't lead yourself.
You can't lead others if you can't lead yourself.
Yeah.
That's the first. So to me, a healthy leader, spiritually, mentally, working on the physical. I'm still working on
Welcome
that.
Welcome to the club.
But a healthy leader is going to attract more a healthy camaraderie of people.
Yeah.
So
I love that. We know that a leader who's a highly effective, influencer when the people they're leading want to go there.
Yeah.
Wherever they're leading, you know, toward that vision, mission, goal, purpose, initiative, whatever it might be. So in your opinion and from your experience, what makes people want to go there? Wherever the leader, wherever you is trying to lead them?
First of all, you have to cast the vision, and you've got to be passionate about that vision. People will buy into a mission if the heart's in it, and people will buy into a leader if the trust and respect is in it. So we have to cast the vision. I have to stand in the vision. I have to walk out the vision, and I have to follow through that vision. And they've got to trust and know that my heart is in the right place. My heart is before the Lord, praying about direction of where to go and what to do. And, yeah.
And how would you define vision? Like when you say I've got to cast the vision, what do you mean by vision?
The overall vision of that, we want every woman in a T-Life group and community, authentic community at Relevant.
Yep.
We want everyone transformed by Him.
Yep.
And we want them taking next steps. I just had a meeting this morning with a first-time leader and, encouraging her to take her next step, encouraging her group to take the next step. But just that we are all here. My goal is to have everyone to know how beautiful they are, that God loves them, their identity in Christ. And as women today, especially the culture that we're surrounded by, it's very difficult. And there's a lot of suffering because of that, a lot of anxiety. So that is our mission, is to drive that God loves them. He wants them to be transformed by Him. And we want everybody in community. It's so powerful.
Yep. So what I love that you just did there, Beth, was you just really quickly summed up what your vision is and what our vision is when it comes to basically everyone, but particularly with, you know, the women's T-Life groups.
Right.
And, you know, when we talk about being a leader and casting vision, sometimes for so many of our leaders, they get overwhelmed by that. And those of you who are listening right now, you'd be like, I don't know how to cast vision. And how I always define vision, it's just it's a picture of a preferred future.
Yeah.
And that's what you just described. Here's what we want to see. Like, this would be what we want to see. You know, every woman knowing their identity, feeling love, taking next steps to follow Jesus, being transformed, being a part of authentic community.
Right.
Like, that's what we want to see. And so you just keep coming back to that and casting it and casting it and casting it. And because people want to go somewhere better.
They did.
And so the fact that you are continuing to put that out there is really what makes people want to go there, because they have to know where there is.
Well, if you have the passion behind it, the passion and the drive, and that is for me to do that with our leaders, is because that's contagious. That mm-hmm. passion is very contagious.
Yep.
So, you know, what I love to see is when groups open up, is that passion from other women that are sitting in the group and maybe for the first time, but it's changing their lives. That's the story I had this morning.
Yeah.
And people who just new to Relevant just signed up for a group, changing their lives, opening up, sharing things. That passion, they bring in their friends. So it's like, that's where the passion has to be.
Yeah.
And the drive to get it done.
Yep. I mean, you coach a lot of leaders. You said you're just coaching 14. As you coach leaders, what advice, or any other leader, any of our leaders, what advice would you give them, or what advice have you given to the leaders that you coach to begin doing this more effectively with the people they're leading, helping them lead people to want to go there?
Sounds redundant with the transparency, authenticity, vulnerability. Communicate a lot.
Leaders are repeaters.
Yeah, they
leaders
are.
Leaders are repeaters.
They are.
Keep
I know.
Saying it over and over and over. Yeah.
I know it. Communicate. Be able to walk. Just to tell people, I'm here for you. And encouragement will change people's lives.
Yep.
There are people who, honestly, they are not encouraged by a lot of surroundings in their life. So encouragement can change somebody's life.
Yeah.
But just to have your pulse, leaders need to have their pulse on their group. Look at how healthy is this group, you know, and we want healthy groups at Relevant. Unhealthy groups can be devastating. So
yeah.
That's something, just keeping the pulse on each person in your group and see, and like we talk about the wins, like what are the next steps they're taking? What do we see? What are the wins? And celebrating those. And yeah.
Yeah. And you keep like, that's what makes people want to go there, you know, to the vision that you're leading to. You just said it. Like, you just keep putting it out there. You just keep putting it out there, the preferred future. Like, here's what we want to see. Here's what we want to see. Here's what we want to see. And then, you know, as their leaders are doing that with their people and encouraging them in the midst of that, man, that's going to make people want to go there so much more. So the reality is being a leader who's a highly effective influencer doesn't just mean people want to go there. It means that people are actually, the people that we're leading are actually getting there.
Yeah.
You know, they're achieving the vision, the mission, the goal, the purpose, the initiative that we're leading them into. They're actually producing results, carrying out their responsibilities effectively, achieving what we're leading them into, and getting to where we're actually trying to lead them. So Beth, in your opinion and from your experience, what do leaders do to ensure that they, or what do you do to ensure that you are that you are, the people you're actually leading are actually getting there toward where you're trying to lead them?
Well, it's not a system, definitely. But leadership is influence and leadership is relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to, you know, constantly celebrate wins and wins in the group. Like, okay, let's talk, because, you know, we're in relationship with people, and there's a lot of heavy things, and sometimes a leader can be overwhelmed with the heaviness mm-hmm. of a group, or, you know, just because they're passionate about it, concerned about it. But just to see people take those next steps and to celebrate those small things for group leaders.
Yeah.
Because baptism, going through Staff O, getting people to sign up for Staff O, you know, just things like that. Like, and just seeing people transform their life, coming to know Jesus, and seeing, just having group leaders who really have walked somebody across that line. It may have taken a year or two, but somebody putting their faith in Jesus. Like, this is not about... This leadership is totally different from a business world. We're not making money off this. You know, like, I just had a leader say, well, I've managed people. No, like, this is not about managing people. This is about lives, relationship with Jesus, relationship within their family. And when you see, when these leaders see people's lives literally change before their eyes, see families transform, marriages transform, because sitting in a den, opening up the Word of God, praying for somebody, someone being encouraged and loved on, is just the most amazing thing.
Yeah. What I love what you said there, and I'm actually learning this, Beth, just more and more in my leadership. What we know is that what you celebrate is reinforced.
Yes.
And so often I don't do a good job at celebrating. You know, I'm like, oh, great, that we did it. Awesome. On to the next thing. And so I've had to get better at learning how to celebrate and recognize, you know, people who have made those things happen.
Right.
Because what you celebrate ends up being reinforced. And so I love that, you know, how you just said it, to help people actually get there toward where we're leading, you got to celebrate the wins. You got to celebrate the victories. That's another way to, like, throw the vision out there. Like, this is what's the important
things. This is why we do
it.
Yeah.
So if you were coaching a leader, what advice would you give them, or have you given them, to begin doing this more effectively, to begin helping the people they're leading actually getting there, whether it's they're leading a group and they're trying to get them, you know, take next steps to follow Jesus, or getting toward transformation, or you're leading a team and trying to get them to accomplish that mission? Like, what advice would you give, or how you given leaders to begin to help people get there more effectively, the people they're leading get there more effectively?
And I know I keep saying it. It's just, I think it's about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's about letting people know you care.
Yep.
It's about letting people know that you're with them and that you're for them. And opening up group and just communicating, allowing and creating safety and trust within people, and just prayer, connection, and commitment to them. And I think it's Psalms 78, 72, where it says, David shepherded with integrity of heart, and with skillful hands he led them. Like, you know, that's with an integrity of heart, like, that just brings people to you. Like, and the skillful hands is like, here, I'm alongside. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to help you get to that next level. And people are there in group, not because they need something to do. People are there in group because they have a desire. They have a thirst for something different. They have a desire for community and for change in their life, to better their life. And leaders just have to be present, have to be open, honest, authentic, and real.
Yeah.
Committed.
And I think what you said, like group leaders, whether you're a next-gen group leader, two-life group leader, I really hope you key into what Beth just said here a second ago. She said this is all about relationships, particularly in small groups. If we're trying to get people to go toward Jesus and take steps toward Jesus together and be transformed by Jesus and look more like Jesus, and as group leaders in particular, that can't happen by telling them what to do.
Right.
It happens through relationship.
It does. You cannot have influence without relationship.
No.
You can't.
Walking with them.
Yeah.
And walking with them through sometimes what seems like the valley of the shadow of death.
Yep.
And man, that is so. See this, Beth? This is why you are the leader of the year.
Yeah, right.
Come on now. I love it. All right. Just a couple questions left. I want to be respectful of your time. I think good leaders get the job done. I think great leaders, highly effective influencers, actually equip other leaders and reproduce other leaders. The other leaders are being reproduced through them, and they're being equipped by them to lead themselves. So highly effective influencers, their impact is much greater than just accomplishing one goal and just what they're getting done. Like, they're accomplishing a lot more through other leaders. You couldn't lead 14 groups yourself.
No.
You're a leader who's reproducing other leaders, and then the leaders in place, you're equipping them to get better and better all the time.
Right.
That's how impact continues on. So, Beth, what do you do? I know you do a lot of things, but what are some of the key things that you do to equip your current leaders?
Well, like physical, Relevant does a great job with just resources and things that you know, for our leaders, which is great. So that is a great job by Relevant. But as far as individual leaders, it's just my relationship with them, leading them to, like this morning, I'll give you a conversation, some hard circumstances within a group, helping people to stretch themselves and navigate through situations and difficult circumstances. A lot of people are a little timid about leading a group because they feel a little bit insecure about their ability to handle some things, mm-hmm. confront some things. Mm-hmm. Teaching people to communicate in hard times, hold people accountable. So my job is spiritually praying for them, connecting with them, communication with them, celebrating their wins, and just challenging them to take their next steps, having an open, honest relationship with them about where they are, maybe if they're struggling in their life spiritually, because we have to have healthy leaders. And so it's really my job is to come along them to and navigate and help them. I can't ask them to do these conversations or to be a certain if I'm not willing to go there with them and help them. So they're watching me navigate some of this with them, and I love that. I mean, I that's part of what I do that I absolutely love, and I love being in the trenches with somebody because I tell them, look, you can go in the pit, and I will come and give you a hand out of the pit. But I will sit in there with you for a little bit, but I'm not going to stay.
Yep.
And God doesn't call us, allow us to stay in the pit. So I try to sort of mimic that behavior with group leaders and just know that, I mean, I'm praying for them, you know, every day, praying for my leaders and praying for their groups. And I just want them to know I'm their, not a champion, but I'm for them. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got somebody in their corner that they can come to me and spill the beans or they can celebrate the wins, and I am for them. I'm not going anywhere, and they can trust me. And if you can grasp a hold of that, somebody that they will, the trust will deepen, the respect will grow, and the willingness to follow you will grow exponentially. So that's, I'm just for them. I'm in their corner. They're not doing it alone.
Yeah, gosh, this is so good, Beth. This is what makes you so great. I mean, we know to equip leaders, we got to have times of training and, you know, you, like skill training.
This is, it's life training.
Yeah. But this is exactly what you just talked about was, past all the skill training and, you know, here's how to navigate conversations. We do with all, you know, group leaders and stuff like that.
Right.
You just went back to the relationship. Like, this gets all down to how do I equip leaders the best? Man, I walk beside them. I have conversations. I know what's going on in their life.
It's uncomfortable to do it by themselves, and they just need somebody to sit with them and help them do it. And then the next time this comes up, boom, communicate that. Go ahead. Like, don't let it sit. Don't let it fester. Communication is key.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, but just to be able to walk, especially some of these new leaders. Those are people that we really have to just kind of tender with and hold up a little bit more. And some are more successful than others. And it's not that one's better than the other. I think we're all called to leadership in our lives, whether it's a circle of influence of our families or our friends. And, you know, it's relationship. People are watching us. And so, you know, we have to cultivate that relationship a little bit more with new leaders and help them along the way and encourage for them not to get discouraged or, you know, because the wins may not come the first semester. You know, they may not see people walk across that line and, you know, but,
Beth, our church would be better if you were the lead pastor. Let's be honest.
You're fired.
Let's be honest, Beth.
Can't see my sermon notes, but you're fired.
You're amazing.
Another thing. Having an eye disease, God has just given me a mouth
and
a heart. Like, I know that. Everybody needs to know it real, but I have an eye disease, so I'm not stuck up if I don't wave to you by far. But
you didn't see him.
Yeah, I didn't see him.
Basically blind.
He's given me a big heart for people, and he's given me a mouthpiece. At least I haven't lost that, right?
Exactly.
Or my hearing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Beth, I have one final question for you.
Okay.
While you're here, I just want to give you the opportunity to say anything you want to all of the leaders of Relevant. So are there any final thoughts that you'd like to leave us with to help all of us be leaders who are highly effective influencers? You can say anything you'd like to all the leaders of Relevant. Yep, it's all you.
Okay, you're going to think I'm weird on this one. But God brought this to my heart this morning.
Yeah.
This is funny. I said, thank you, Jesus. Anyway, it's like, okay, Nebraska fans aren't going to like this. I'm a big football fan. It's Nick Saban.
Yeah,
probably one of the greatest leaders I've ever known.
Yep.
Like,
and for those of you who don't know, that's the head coach for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yes, and just to be able to, my dad played for Alabama, my brother played for Alabama. We're huge fans, and so anyway, but just to watch his leadership, like he cast a vision to his team, and he says we're going to walk the process. Like, we're going to call this a process. Everybody has their own role on the team. Everybody's different, size is different, speed is different, they're going to execute different, but our goal is not the scoreboard, because we can't keep score. God knows the harvest is going to come in his timing, but we're just to do what we're called to do, like we're all different, and run our play, run it the way God's calling us to run it, do the best we can. We're about a team, it's not solo, it's not about ourselves looking good. But then on the path too, he raises up these apprentices who go off and win national championships, and he celebrates with them. So the Kirby Smarts of the world, you know. So my thing is with leaders is to just, you're different. God's created you differently than anybody else. You can't judge your leadership based on what I do, what Ronnie does. We're all different, but God's called you to leadership. And what does that look like for you? Mm-hmm. Know your identity in Christ. Know how he's wired you. use those strengths to the best of your ability. And the ones that are your basements, know your boundaries in them and recognize them. Love people well. Love Jesus. And just be open, authentic, real, transparent. And sometimes you don't have the answer, and that's okay, because there's somebody else that does. Mm-hmm. But just know that you're not alone, that you're part of a team, and that we're here for you and want to equip you the best we can.
Yeah. Boom.
Did the Alabama thing make sense?
It did. It did. By the way, Nick Saban and he, I don't know if you know this, but he's good friends of Bill Belichick, who's
yes.
the head coach for the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
And they have this phrase, and it's three words, and I think it kind of sums up what you said at the front end of that, of their three-word phrase is do your job.
Do your job.
Everyone do
that
your job.
That is it.
If
execute.
Everyone just does
do your
their job.
Job yeah.
All
yeah.
of us as leaders do our job.
Yeah.
How we feel like God's called us to do here in our church body. And we do our job.
Yeah, get in the zone.
Yeah.
Stay in your zone.
Yep.
Stay in your lane.
We're the body of Christ. Let's just
do
all,
one
do
thing
our job.
Really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a leader in T-Life Group, do it really well.
Yes.
Like just really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beth, boom, drop the mic. You are a stud. So, honestly, thank you for doing this. Thanks for being here and just sitting with me and letting me ask you these questions. I learned a lot today. I hope leaders, you did too. I would just encourage you guys to just, you know, go, hey, what's like one next step I can take?
Yeah.
Just from this conversation, I guarantee there was so much gold in this conversation. And there is one thing I think that God probably nudged your heart with. Go, ah, man, I should do that. I need to do that. Take that step.
Yeah.
Take it because you're the great leaders of the hope of the church, which means you are the hope of our church. Guys, thanks for joining us. Make sure to follow the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to the Relevant Leader Monthly on so you get it automatically every month. And join us next month for another conversation that hopefully helps all of us become leaders who are highly effective influencers.